The following is a paid program. 1590 WAKR and its owners, the Rubber City Radio Group, are not responsible for its content.
Money Talks, the show that gives you the tools to navigate a challenging economy, help you build and protect your wealth, and provide timely news and information to manage your money. Here's the host of Money Talks, Richard Peterson, president of Capital Financial Group on 1590 WAKR.
Well, good morning, everyone. I am your host, Richard Peterson of Capital Financial Group. This is Money Talks, and thanks for joining us on this February Saturday morning as we make our way towards the end of wintertime. And as we take a look at the markets yesterday, they ended up on an up note. They were happy with what the president had to say. The Dow was up just under 97 points, closed at 20,269. It makes the Dow positive 2.6% year-to-date. The NASDAQ was up just under 19. It closed at 5734. And the S&P 500 was up better than 8 points, closed at 2316. It's positive now 3.5% year-to-date. All three indexes, these are record highs. Natural gas was down a penny to $3.03. We saw that in the oil market, the West Texas Intermediate was up 86 cents, closed at $53.86 a barrel, while Brent crude was up $1.07, closed at $56.70. We also saw that gas futures were up 2 cents to $1.58, and at the pumps, it looks like it's anywhere from $1.89 to $2.19. And coming in, I noticed that some of the prices had gone up from yesterday, so it looks like we're going to see some prices being raised later on today. Gold was down 90 cents, closed at $1,235.90, while silver was up 19 cents, closed at $17.93 an ounce. The VIX, the volatility index measure, was down 3 cents, closed at $10.85. And in the bond market, we see the 2 years now at 1.19%, the 10-year at 2.41%. And the 30-year at 3.01%. We saw that this week initial jobless claims dropped to 234,000. That's a decrease of 12,000 from the previous week. We also saw that the Labor Department released a report showing that U.S. import prices rose more than expected in the month of January. The report said that import prices increased by 0.4% after climbing 0.5% in December. We also saw that the Labor Department said that export prices inched up by 0.1% in January after rising by 0.4% in December. And lastly, the Commerce Department said that the trade deficit narrowed to $44.3 billion in December from a revised $45.7 billion in November. So why were the markets so happy yesterday? Well, more commentary from President Trump, basically in his news conference with the Prime Minister of Japan. He brought up again something big coming, and it has to do more than likely with the corporate tax reform. Now, there's a lot on the president's plate right now. We have the Dodd-Frank regulations, deregulation of a lot of the burdens on corporations out there and small business. We see corporate tax return, individual tax returns, Obamacare. There's all kinds of things that are going on. And I think by a lot of individuals, what they're looking for and what the market wants to see is they want to see some of these changes come to fruition and begin to take place. One of the biggest ones that would be probably to the administration's advantage right now is the corporate tax rate. Now, as you know, we have a 35% corporate tax rate in the United States. We are the highest tax rate in the world when it comes to corporations, and it's been discussed quite a bit that the president would like to lower the corporate tax rate from 35% to 15%. And I've heard a lot of conversation, and it's probably going to be 15 20%, somewhere in that range. Now, why do the markets like that, and what does it mean? Very simply, if we look at the P&E, the price-to-earnings multiple currently, we're around 18, 18 and a half. Historically, we've been 16 to 16 and a half. And if the corporate tax rate goes from 35 to 15%, what you will see is that the P&E immediately drops from 18 and a half to 13. Very simply, what that means is that in an overpriced market, it now becomes an underpriced market. And this is information that you're not going to hear in too many other places, but it's one of the basic foundations on why the market has been doing better is because of the corporate tax rate that has been discussed so adamantly over the past couple of months. I would really like to see him do that and do it quickly, because that is just good for everybody. It is particularly good for American businesses that do business overseas. When you have a 35% corporate tax rate, you're at a disadvantage already with your competitors out there. And then when you add a strong dollar in, you really have your hands tied when it comes to the competitive nature of the global economies. By lowering that tax rate and by softening the dollar, you put us on an even playing field with the rest of the competition around the world. That is good for our corporate companies. That is good then for the stock market. That is good for your portfolio. So that is one of the things that we're looking at. That is why we saw the reaction in the markets yesterday. Now, even though that they were happy and positive, you know, we were up just under 100 points. You would find, I think, that when Congress passes a tax reform bill, let's say corporate tax, we're just strictly saying corporate, I think you're going to see a much stronger reaction by the markets. If yesterday, for example, the markets Congress passed the corporate tax bill, lowered the corporate taxes down to 15%, I think you're going to get a very strong response out of the market, much more than just 100 points. That is good news for everybody, and so therefore that's part of the excitement that you're seeing out there. And these are all pro-business, pro-economy, pro-growth in this country. And we have found that for the past 8 years, the markets, you know, were kind of tepid, but the economy just could not get out of its own way, growing at 1.5, 1.75, 2%. And a lot of that had to do with regulation, quite frankly, to me, was the number one barrier, the number one obstacle that corporations had to deal with. And then, of course, they had the high tax rates. We had all kinds of different problems, you know, strong dollar and so forth. This is the first president in over 20 years that is actually talking about a less stronger dollar. And I'm with him on that. Strong dollar does not really help our economy. It hurts it in more ways than it helps it. Doesn't mean we want a dollar that's not worth anything, but we don't want a strong dollar. And so therefore, I think what's going on right now is very exciting. It's very optimistic. And it certainly means, I mean, look at your portfolio since the election. And certainly we came out of the gate through November there very strongly. I think since the middle of December, basically through the end of January, what we saw was just kind of a narrow trading range. And now we're starting to see a little more strength come into the markets. And then really until things get passed by Congress, I think that we'll slowly drift upwards. We're certainly going to have volatility. There's no getting around that. But all in all, these are very encouraging signs, very encouraging messages that we're getting out of the administration. And certainly as we start to see these come to fruition, we're going to see a lot of people make some money out there in the stock market. So I think it's a good thing. And we've got a real good show for you in store today. We've got several very good topics that we're going to be covering. You're listening to Money Talks here in WAKR, and we'll be right back after these commercial breaks.
Now back to Professor Money, Richard Peterson of Capital Financial Group. Available online at ProfessorMoney.com and taking your calls at 330-370-1590 with more of Money Talks on 1590 WAKR.
And we welcome you back on this Saturday morning. And if you were listening at the beginning of the show, before I actually came on, there was a commercial that ran concerning credit repair. I just wanted to spend a moment on that because basically, they're making a lot of promises that are either, let's say, are questionable or you can do on your own. The credit repair basically was saying, you know, do you have late pays? And they're talking about bankruptcies and liens and all kinds of stuff that, you know, it's not just good enough to get your credit score. How can you get some of these things off of your credit? Well, the bottom line is, nobody can take anything off of your credit and get rid of anything that's bad on your credit if it is legitimate. Now, what they're hoping is that people will come to them, pay them a fee, and if there's anything on your credit report that does not belong there, well, then they can petition to get that off right to the companies and so forth. You can do the same thing for free. If there's something that's on your credit report that does not belong there, then that is something that you can contest and hopefully get that off of your credit report and increase your score. If you have late pays because you were late, they're not coming off your credit report. I don't care how much you pay a company. They're not coming off your credit report. Anything that's legitimate is going to stay there. It's anything that's on there that doesn't belong on there, that's when you can get those taken off of your reports. I remember when I pulled one of my credit reports, this was many years ago, and there was a JCPenney card that was on my report. Now, no late payments or anything like that, but it was not mine. In fact, it was actually my dad's. They just, our names are very similar, and they had it on my report. And I ended up calling up and talking to them, and I said, you know, this doesn't belong on here. I said, I don't think you issue credit cards to three-year-olds. And, of course, the lady had a little chuckle, and they said they would take it off, and there was no problem. But, you know, if there's legitimate things on there, the only way to get those off is through time, through good money management. You know, if you've had a bankruptcy, which is one of the worst things you can have on there, what you need to do is you need to start by going out and getting a secured credit card. That means you're going to put money down. That's going to be your limit on that credit card. And by good money management, then you go and you use it and you pay it off and so forth. That's going to begin to build your credit score back up. And it's just a matter of showing responsibility and letting some time pass. That's what gets your credit score back up, and that's what gets lenders the motivation to go ahead and lend money to you. So just a little bit of information. Credit is just so important here in the United States, and we really have to safeguard it. And it's a responsibility, and it's just making sure that you do what you're supposed to do. But wanted to bring that up because, you know, I don't want anybody getting hoodwinked by one of these companies. Also, we see that we have a holiday coming up next week, Valentine's Day. And you have an article that I pulled off the internet here by Bankrate.com. It was kind of interesting. Because the article, of course, says with the holiday coming up and, of course, with romance in the air and so forth, how it's very easy to all of a sudden spend more than you wanted to. They show the example here of a, you know, box of chocolates, average cost $14.69. I don't know where they're buying their box of chocolates, but if you want a decent box of chocolates, you're going to be spending easily $18 to $25. They have on here a solitaire diamond earring set, quarter carat total weight, princess cut, 14 white gold, $324.39. Add to that, of course, your dozen red long stem roses for $94.29. Like, wow, they're a little bit cheaper in this area anyway, so that's nice. Fine dining for two on Valentine's Day, $96. And bottle of champagne, $51. Total spent, $580.98. The point is that things can get out of control, just like they can do at Christmas, just like they can do in many other holidays. The idea of the article was basically be careful, and experiences are much more valuable to people than our material things. So just be prudent in the way that you go about. People prefer to have gifts with thought behind them as opposed to just going out and spending money on a particular item. So just a little bit of information as we approach the Valentine holiday here this week. Next, I wanted to get to some of the, since it's tax season, some of the tax scams that are going on out there. And this article is about, you know, the three top tax scams and what happens. Of course, the first one, phishing, P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G, phishing. And this is normally going to come about on your computer. Phishing is going to be the emails that you get sent. These emails can look exactly like your bank. They can look exactly like your credit card company, or they can look exactly like the place that you have your home mortgage or auto loan at. And, you know, if you open it, you could be in trouble, because what they're going to usually do is have some sort of software attached to it. There's many different types of software that can cause problems for you. One is a keylogger. Keylogger basically then is when you go and type in your username and password for anything, credit card, bank accounts, anything. Somebody else is getting that information on the other end of the line there, and they're going to have access to all of your important information. They could put in some sort of Trojan horse. They could put in something that's going to, you know, take down your computer, ransomware, and you have to pay a ransom to get your computer back up and running again. Do not ever open emails unless you know where they're coming from, like a friend, family. If you think they're coming from your bank or a credit card company, exit out, go directly to that link through your web browser, not through the link in the email. This will keep you safe. We just have to be very careful nowadays, because these scammers are out there trying to get our information. Another is to be careful who does your taxes. If this is somebody, this could be some fly-by-night organization out there getting all of your information. When you fill out your taxes, they have everything. They have your name, date of birth, Social Security number, financial data. You talk about identity theft. You just gave everything to this individual. So be careful on who prepares your taxes. Just because you think you're saving, you know, $25-$50 to have somebody do them, well, that could cost you a heck of a lot more down the road if this person is illegitimate. And they also talk about shady tax preparation. Somebody says, I'll do your taxes for half the price and I'll get you the largest refunds. Are they putting down information that is not true and correct? Are you taking and giving you deductions that you don't deserve? You're going to have a problem with the IRS down the road. You need to be very, very careful. And lastly, I heard about one yesterday that I thought, you know, boy, these criminals, they just get smarter by the day. It talked about people that are traveling. And what's the first thing that happens when you check in? They generally ask for a credit card so that they can put any of the ancillaries on that credit card, room charges and so forth. Well, what happens is somebody calls into the hotel, they ask for your room number, you answer the phone, you think it's the front desk because that's how they try to portray themselves, it's the front desk, and they're asking you to verify your credit card information because they're having a problem with it, and you just gave them your credit card, your CSV number on the back, the three-digit code, and the expiration date. Now they're out charging on your credit card. You just have to be very, very careful when you're out there. Another one, just heard last week, calling you on your home phone, asking you a simple question. All they're looking for is for you to say yes. They record it, and then they use it against you. They could use it to change any of your, you know, utilities and so forth. You said yes. Now they have an actual recording of that. Somebody calls and you don't know who it is, just hang up. Don't even answer anything verbally, just hang up. We really have to, you know, prepare ourselves for battle out there today. It's a bad guy against us, and we certainly don't want the bad guy to win. So be careful. And with that, we'll be back after these commercial breaks with the Money Talks Joke of the Week. Stay with us.
Now back to Professor Money, Richard Peterson of Capital Financial Group. Available online at ProfessorMoney.com and taking your calls at 330-370-1590. With more of Money Talks on 1590 WAKR.
And we welcome you back. It is time for the Money Talks Joke of the Week. And this week, the old man placed an order for one hamburger, French fries, and a drink. Well, he unwrapped the plain hamburger and carefully cut it in half, placing one half in front of his wife. He then carefully counted out the French fries, dividing them into two piles, and neatly placed one pile in front of himself and one pile in front of his wife. He took a sip of the drink, his wife took a sip, and then set the cup back down between them. As he began to eat his few bites of hamburger, the people around them were looking over and whispering. Obviously, they were thinking, that poor old couple, all they can afford is one meal for the two of them. Well, as the man began to eat his fries, a young man came to the table and politely offered to buy another meal for the old couple. The old man said they were just fine. They were used to sharing everything. Well, people closer to the table noticed the little old lady hadn't eaten a bite. She sat there watching her husband eat and occasionally taking turns sipping the drink. Again, the young man came over and begged them to let him buy another meal for them. This time, the old woman said, no, thank you. We're used to sharing everything. Finally, as the old man finished and was wiping his face neatly with the napkin, the young man once again, came over to the table. The little old lady, who had yet to eat a single bite of food, and asked, what is it that you're waiting for? Well, she answered very politely, the teeth. Yes. Hope you weren't eating breakfast right then and there, but the teeth. Anyway, since we are in tax season, something else that we need to look at and consider, because I think so many people get into the habit of just automatically, if you're married, filing your taxes as married filing jointly. Well, you know, with the way that the tax laws have kind of changed a little over the last few years, it might behoove some of you to check into filing separately. It could be to your advantage, particularly if several things might have taken place in your life. Maybe one of you has a lot of medical expenses and a low income. By filing separately, the partner with the doctor bills might be more likely to exceed the 10% of adjusted gross income threshold needed to itemize the medical costs. Taxpayers age 65 and older can still use the 5.5% threshold for the 2016 tax filing, but the 10% threshold applies to everyone in 2017. Only one spouse on a joint return must meet that age to get the lower deduction percentage. So you need to check them out both ways, because the whole idea is to pay our fair taxes to the IRS. Fair. That doesn't mean we have to overpay, but it doesn't mean that we want to underpay and not legally pay what we're supposed to. And so therefore, by looking to see which benefits you better by filing married filing jointly or married filing separately, you might find that the separate could be to your advantage. Just something to look into. I hope those, when you go and have your taxes done by some professionals, that they check both ways just to see if there's an advantage one way or the other for you. It's just something to look at. And also, too, to always bring up the fact that we need to be contributing for our retirement if you're still working. And even after retirement, you have the advantage of still contributing to a Roth IRA if you still have earned income. Many of you are past the age of 70 and a half and are out there still working. You can still contribute to a Roth IRA. Now, what's the advantage of putting my money in a Roth IRA? Well, you put your money into a Roth IRA, and what you're going to find is that upon withdrawal, the first thing that comes out is principal, the money that you put into the Roth IRA. And as long as you've had that Roth IRA for 5 years or longer, you're entitled to take the earnings out tax-free the rest of your life, no matter when. And there's no requirement, like a traditional IRA, that at 70 and a half you have to start taking distributions. You don't have to with the Roth IRA. And what's interesting also about the Roth IRA, I said 5 years open to be able to take the earnings out tax-free. It doesn't matter what day of the year you open it, be it January 1st or December 31st, you are credited with 1 year. What I mean by that is if you opened it last month on January the 1st, 2017, by the end of the year, will count as 1 year for you. If you open it December 31st this year, you still get the full 1 year's credit for 2017. For a younger person, they think, oh, well, if I open up a traditional, I'm not making that much money, I can deduct it off my taxes. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. But in the long run, in most circumstances, it will not behoove you down the road to do it that way. Yes, you'll get a little bit of tax savings today. It's a tax deduction. But if you put it in a Roth, by the way, traditional, I'll carry on. With the traditional, you can't touch that money till you're 59 and a half. And if you do, you'll not only pay income tax on the money that you take out, but you will also pay a 10% penalty on whatever you withdraw. If you open up a Roth IRA at 30 and at 45 you need some money, you can take money out of the Roth, money that you've put in there, without any type of penalty, without any type of tax. The Roth has so many more benefits than a traditional IRA. And in most cases, I would really recommend you get into the Roth. I recommend Roths to people that want to set up college funds for children because of its versatility. You know, when your kid goes to college, if they go to college, and that's a big question, because many kids, by the time they get to college age, they don't want to go to college. And so therefore, if you have a 529 plan, what's going to happen is they don't go to college. Now, what are you going to do with that 529? That means that when you take the money out of there, if they're not used for educational purposes, you're going to pay tax on that money. A Roth, you will not. So, for somebody that's 20, 40, 60, or 80, a Roth is a very good vehicle to have. It gives you choices, it gives you versatility, and it has many more benefits, I think, than a traditional IRA. Well, now's the time to get on the phone lines for the Money Talks quiz of the week, 330-370-1590. I'm going to ask you three multiple choice questions. For being our contestant, of course, you win breakfast at Bob Evans. And if you get all three of those questions right, we'll move you into the bonus round. One more question. If you get that one question correct, you will then get a second breakfast at Bob Evans. Give us a call. Play along with us, 330-370-1590. We're going to take caller number 5, and we'll be back right after these commercial breaks.
Now back to Professor Money, Richard Peterson of Capital Financial Group. Available online at ProfessorMoney.com and taking your calls at 330-370-1590 with more of Money Talks on 1590 WAKR.
And we welcome you back. It is time for the Money Talks quiz of the week, and it looks like we have Lewis on from Akron. Good morning, Lewis. Oh, it looks like we just lost Lewis. I guess we'll go ahead and see if he gets back on the line here. In the meantime, basically what we want to also cover today has to do with the things that matter. Oh, looks like we have Lewis back on the line. Good morning, Lewis.
Yes, good morning.
How are you today?
Good, yourself?
Oh, not too bad. We lost you there for a second.
Yeah.
But we got you back, so we're going to go ahead and give you our three multiple choice questions here. My first question for you today, Lewis, the Federal Reserve, stated in their December meeting that they are looking to raise interest rates how many times this year in 2017? 2 times, 3 times, or 4 times?
I'm going to say 2.
Actually, they stated that they were going to try and raise them 3 times this year. Last year, in their December meeting of 2015, they said they were going to try and raise rates 4 times in 2016. Well, they didn't raise them but once, and that was in December, 2 months ago. Okay. Now they're saying they're going to try and raise them 3 times. I don't know if they're going to be able to do that. Once or twice is basically what I see on the plate at this point. My next question for you, Lewis, is what is the current national average for a 30-year fixed mortgage? Is it currently 4.06%, 4.21%, or 4.41%? What do you think? Current 30-year mortgage rate, 4.06%. 4.21 or 4.41?
4.21.
Oh, you'd be paying too much.
Oh.
Yeah, 4.06. It actually came down about a tenth of a point from last week and currently sits at 4.06 for a 30-year mortgage. And my last question for you, how many $1 bills make up a pound? Is it 319, 396, or 454? How many dollar bills make a pound? 319, 396, or 454?
396?
Actually, 454 is what makes up a pound. And the thing is, it doesn't matter if it's dollar bills, $5 bills, $10 bills. They all weigh the same, but it takes 454 of them to make a pound. Lewis.
Yeah.
Not so good today.
No.
But we always have fun with our callers. You still win breakfast at Bob Evans, which we're going to send out to you. And hopefully some of the listeners out there learned something today from our questions. So, not a lost cause. Appreciate you calling in and being our contestant this weekend.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. And as we started before we had Lewis, eight things that matter more than money for a happy retirement. Hopefully, by the time that you retire, you will have saved a significant amount of money to be able to live comfortably and do the things that you want to do. But if you are facing retirement with less money than you would prefer, don't despair. It's important to remember that there's a lot more to enjoying a happy retirement than simply saving enough money. True wealth and happiness comes from many sources. Number one, health. It is impossible to put a monetary value on good health. With good health, you can get out and enjoy a beautiful day, participate in fun activities, and move through your day independently and free from pain regardless of your income. I think it, not only in retirement, but even in your younger years. My wife and I all the time are saying how priceless good health is. I mean, you can have all the money in the world, and if you have health issues, that doesn't mean a thing. Number two is people. You can create a pleasant environment in which to live with a nice home and desirable possessions. But if you lack human contact with people that you care for and enjoy being around, you will probably be miserable. People will come and go in your life, so it is worth your effort to cultivate and maintain relationships. Number three is experiences. When you think about your life up to now, the two things that will probably matter the most to you are the experiences you've had and the people with whom you've shared them. You will remember the remarkable places you visited and events you experienced with others long after you have forgotten the time you spent doing household chores, watching TV, or sitting at your computer. Keep your life rich by always having some new experiences that you are planning to enjoy. Most memorable experiences actually don't cost much money. Number four, purpose. It feels good to have a reason to get out of bed every morning. Once you stop working, there are plenty of other ways to find purpose. Your sense of purpose may come from helping others, creating artwork or music, writing, making the world a better place, or simply accomplishing something you want to do. Having a sense of purpose will motivate you to act. If your life isn't as interesting as you would like, you have the power to change it. Number five is curiosity. You are never too old to learn and experience new things. In fact, seeking out new ways to stay mentally engaged and discovering new things is good for your mental health and happiness. With more information available than ever before, it should be easy to find things to stimulate your curiosity and satisfy your thirst for knowledge. Beauty. Number six, regardless of world events, financial problems, or whatever other concerns you may have, the world is still a beautiful place. As you move about your daily life, remember to notice and appreciate the inherent beauty of the flowers, trees, clouds, sunsets, and attractive buildings. Find time to enjoy music and art. There's beauty all around, which is easy to be overlooked and take for granted when you are preoccupied with other things. Colorful flowers and beautiful sunsets are there to be enjoyed by everyone, regardless of income. Number seven is time. Time is the most precious commodity we have. Each minute is an asset that once spent, you will never get back. Your time is perhaps the most meaningful thing that you can share with someone else. You don't have to be productive every minute of the day because time spent in relaxation and enjoyment is time well spent. But just as you try not to waste money, be careful not to waste time. Remember that growing older is a privilege that is not afforded to everyone. And lastly, gratitude. Perhaps the most important factor that contributes to your overall happiness and well-being is the ability to appreciate everything you have. Be thankful for your health, friends and family, memorable experiences, the beauty that surrounds you, and the time you have to enjoy each of these gifts. And remember to share your gratitude with others by expressing appreciation and telling them that you love them. Don't let your biggest regrets be words left unspoken. And lastly, as we wrap up the show, the one thing I'd like to remind people of, I think we are all overwhelmed, over-inundated with the politics that are going on in our society today. Every time you turn on the TV, listen to the radio, read the newspaper, that's all you see. The fighting from the left and the right and so forth. Just a reminder to let you know that this has been going on since the dawn of our country. It will continue to go on. And we just have to find ways to brush it off and not let it bother us from day to day. Because these are things that we cannot change. These are things that by immersing ourselves inside of it, cause anxiety and stress and cause people to really have depression and so forth that come about because of the amount of information that's thrown at us day in and day out. Brush it off. Let it just fall off your shoulders. This will continue. It will continue on till time, man's end. Just dismiss it. It's just news. Don't let it bother you. Enjoy the day. Another show's come to an end. It's been a great pleasure to share the past hour with you. We always welcome the opportunity at Capital Financial Group to work with you as your personal financial advisor. Let us help you to eliminate the worry that comes with retirement and all the facets that are involved. Give us a call. Our number is 330-668-6991. That's 330-668-6991. Thanks so much for having us in today. We'll see you next Saturday at 7 right here on Money Talks. Have a great week.
Has been Money Talks with Richard Peterson, President of Capital Financial Group. This program is informational only and should not replace a financial consultation before investing your money. Registered financial advisors are key toward a balanced and responsible financial policy. This has been a paid program. 1590 WAKR and its parent company, the Rubber City Radio Group, are not responsible for its content.